Hello, this is Hannah Connor with the News Gazette dated March 3rd, 2025. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Fundraising Goal, $5,000 to Renovate Trailer Bell Used at Illini Football Games by Dave Hinton. When it was announced the University of Illinois football team would take on South Carolina in the Citrus Bowl on December 31st in Orlando, Florida, members of the UI Naval ROTC wanted to make the bell that is rung after every Illini score part of the bowl experience. There was one major problem, however. The trailer that holds the bell was in no shape to make the trip. An effort is underway to rectify that problem for future trips. A fundraising goal of $5,000 has been set to replace or refurbish the trailer and to restore the bell to its original brass finish. The Save the Illini Bell fundraiser has already brought in about 80% of the money needed. The bell came from the USS Illinois that was supposed to be the fifth Iowa-class battleship built during World War II, said Lieutenant Commander John P. Thompson, executive officer of the Naval ROTC. Work on the battleship began in 1942, the year after the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, but was halted 3 years later in August 1945, shortly after the United States dropped one of the atomic bombs on Japan. Ship construction was only 22% complete. The ship's bell was salvaged and kept in storage for many years before it was loaned to the Naval ROTC unit at the University of Illinois. The goal was to create a new tradition to celebrate the 40-year-old NROTC program at Illinois, and to support the Illini football team. It is on permanent loan from the Naval History and Heritage Society. The bell is rung cumulatively after every Illini score. Former NROTC member Steve DeWalt, UI class of 1970, who did two tours of duty in Vietnam, got to serve as guest bell ringer in October for the Illini in the 100th anniversary game that celebrated Red Grange's famous performance against Michigan. It was great fun, DeWalt said. I admired the tradition that they had established, noting the NROTC didn't have that tradition when he was a student. The second thing was, it's not just ringing the bell. The Army guys do the push-ups, and the bell is rung in cadence with each push-up. DeWalt rang it twice, three times for the Illini's first field goal and six times for the second one. It was fun to be there when we were honoring Red Grange's tradition at Memorial Stadium. DeWalt, who is 77, said the bell had a wonderful sound to it. It was a hoot, he said. I was honored. I got to be down on the field. I was dressed in my Illini gear and my Vietnam veteran cap. People in the stands actually said thank you for your service. The trailer and support to house the bell was donated by local businessman and philanthropist Kyle Robeson. Thompson said the brass bell needs to be polished to return it to its original state. During the winter, the bell and trailer are pulled under the overhang of the stadium's south end zone and covered. The next article is also from the front page of the News Gazette, titled Save Situation, Parkland / UI student answers call to donate, by Dave Hinton. It was October when Nathaniel Spangler got the call. In essence, he was asked, we need you to help save a young woman's life. A 20-year-old full-time Parkland college student and a part-time University of Illinois student majoring in ag business, Spangler was told his DNA matched that of a 24-year-old woman with a rare autoimmune disease, and she needs a life-saving stem cell transport. Spangler is in the Pathways program at Parkland, designed to facilitate a smooth junior-level transfer to Illinois. He lives at the farmhouse fraternity at the UI and had filled out a questionnaire the previous year about himself and provided a swab of his gums to provide a DNA sample to the National Marrow Donor Program. It's not every day a person gets to save another human being's life, said Spangler. I spent a couple of hours on the phone answering questions like, what does this process look like? They laid out everything for me, like, here's what to expect. Spangler said the entire process was a snap. They do everything for you, Any travel, they cover it. You pretty much just have to show up. Spangler went through some additional blood work, just to officially verify I was the right match, he said. Leading up to it, I had to receive a couple of shots that would stimulate my stem cell production, Spangler said. NMDP officials decided the transplant would take place in Florida at the end of January. Head to Florida in the dead of winter for a few days? That's an added incentive. Travel and lodging were all paid for. Spangler was hooked up to two IVs that circulated blood into a machine, pulling out the stem cells for about 6 hours. His mother, Holly, accompanied him on the trip. The room contained a TV and hospital personnel regularly checked on him to determine he was all right. Spangler said there aren't many potential side effects from donating stem cells, but he experienced all of them, including fatigue and muscle and joint aches. They weren't extreme, though, and he got over them in a couple of days. The Spanglers got to spend a few days enjoying the warm weather of Florida during their trip. By the beach and by the pool, I enjoyed myself a little bit, he said. A son of John and Holly Spangler, Nathan grew up on the family farm near Marietta in western Illinois, where they raise corn, soybeans, and beef cattle. Holly Spangler, a U of I graduate, is the editor of Prairie Farmer magazine and executive editor for Farm Progress. She manages editorial staff at 6 publications across the Corn Belt. Nathan Spangler has 2 sisters, Jenna, who is a senior at the U of I, and Caroline, who is a high school junior. A Bushnell Prairie High School graduate, Spangler said after graduating from U of I in organizational and community leadership, he plans to return to the family farm to work. It was no accident that Spangler signed up to become a stem cell donor. He said Farmhouse has supported NMDP for quite a while. It's kind of been cool to see the support I've gotten from the guys at the fraternity along the way, said Spangler. I told my roommate at the time, when I first found out about being matched to the recipient. He made a big announcement, and everyone was kind of clapping and cheering for me. Everyone's been supportive of me. Friends and family have also indicated that they have donated stem cells or recipients and said how big of an impact it had on them. Spangler said another Farmhouse student has been notified that he is a DNA match for someone who is in need of a transplant. He and I have talked a bit about what it's like. Spangler said he knows nothing about the person who received his stem cells, other than that it was a 24-year-old woman. Donors and recipients are allowed to write each other, but the letters first go to NMDP, which transfers them from writer to recipient. After a year, we're allowed to exchange contact information and to talk to each other that way, Spangler said. Then we'll be able to have the option to meet each other if we so choose. Spangler said it hasn't fully set in that he helped to save someone's life. Whenever I think about it, it's hard to wrap your mind around it that I was the person who matched with this young lady through this simple process, and I was able to save her life. Our next article is Chairman, a Full Project Scheduled This Year by Jennifer Bailey. Danville. Vermilion County Board Chair Steve Miller said the county has a lot on its plate this year. Miller, 75, who became county board chairman in December, grew up on a farm northwest of Indianola. He was first elected to the county board in 1976, serving 4 years. He then served 2 years in the Illinois General Assembly. He was unelected in 1982 due to redistricting. He's also been a school board member. He went to the 1984 convention as a Ronald Reagan delegate, and he's been in local politics all his adult life. He said he usually helps others get elected. He'd rather help others than run by himself. He was appointed in 2021 to fill Chuck Mockbee's, the third's, position after he died. Miller has been an attorney for 50 years with the Acton and Snyder firm, which is across the street from the Joseph G. Cannon Building, County Administration Building, in downtown Danville. I'm working lots of nights and weekends, Miller said, but having an office across the street helps immensely, and you don't have to be in the room to be thinking of solving the problems of the county. So I spend a lot of time studying matters outside the office, after office hours of the county, And I think it's going to be, well, it's been exhausting. Let's say that. I've got a very excellent practice, and I have lots of great clients, and I anticipate I'll be a lawyer after I end my service to the county, Miller said. But I've been managing lots of critical matters for a long time. I was a bankruptcy trustee for 17 years. I did that, plus serve as an attorney, and all my other community activities. I've always come from a long line of workaholics, and I usually work 6 days a week, if not seven, and so I keep a lot of things going at one time. I try not to let too many balls hit the floor. There are no set required hours to serve as county board chairman. He said he rolls up his sleeves and takes on lots of projects on behalf of the county. He feels he'll have good work balance as a chairman. You could do a perfect job and there'd be complaints, Miller added. This is a public office, you know, so there will be complaints. It's part of the territory. But I'm here quite a bit, and when I'm not here, I'm always thinking about solutions to problems, he added. For 2025, the county has two big infrastructure projects going on with the company Centrica. The first is well underway, which included replacing windows at the Rita B. Garman Vermilion County Courthouse. That project could be done this week. The Joseph G. Cannon Building will next see work start this spring, by the end of March, on replacing the 100 dated windows. Heat pumps are going into the courthouse. They started in the basement and are currently on the third floor. Out of 93, they've completed 46 heat pumps. Installation should be completed by the end of March. Water fixture replacements have started at the health department and are moving to the Joseph G. Cannon Building this week. They anticipate being done in 4 days. The courthouse ones are being finished. There are a few items they are waiting on for some of the buildings due to a shortage in the order, according to county officials. Lights could be completed by March. Miller said two Centrica contracts totaled about $7.5 million and $3.4 million. The county's former emergency management agency building on Georgetown Road should be demolished soon. The county removed some items from the building, which is falling down. Once the demolition is completed, Vermilion County Sheriff Pat Hartson has asked the county to consider using the property to build another building for two wash bays and a place to store equipment and work on vehicles. They will look at that. It's in early planning stages right now, Miller said. The county also has a review of the Lakewood Addition subdivision plat it's undertaking. Lakewood Estates consists of homes in a gated community east of Henning Road, south of Hungry Hollow Road, and north of Hillary. It's a housing development not officially done by the rules, Miller said, and they have to straighten out the property titles, roadways, and easements. Our next article is Deshaun Williams tapped as interim treasurer ahead of mayoral transition by Jana Weiss-Urbana. The man set to become Urbana's next mayor in May is being asked to temporarily serve as Champaign County's treasurer until his party can find a permanent replacement. The county board will hold a special meeting at 6 p.m. Tuesday to vote on the appointment of Deshaun Williams to interim county treasurer. The previous treasurer, Cassandra Johnson, resigned effective February 28th. She previously announced her intention to do so in October 2024, citing burnout due to long hours and understaffing. The proposed resolution to appoint Williams, who has served as chief deputy treasurer for the county since 2021, states that he would serve until a recommendation is received from the Democratic Central Committee to fill the position. The news comes just a few days after Williams' victory over Annie Adams in the Democratic primary for mayor by a margin of 66 to 34. No Republicans have filed for the race, which leaves Williams to run unopposed in April. Congratulations to Mayor-elect Deshaun Williams, incumbent Mayor Diane Marlin posted on Facebook. Plans are underway for a smooth transition to your administration on May 5th. In addition to his work in the county treasurer's department, Williams has past experience in banking that includes being an assistant vice president at Busey. He also served a brief stint on the county board and is a board member and treasurer for the CU Schools Foundation. The next article is Springfield Man Charged with First-Degree Murder in December Shooting by Luke Taylor. Urbana. A Springfield man has been charged with first-degree murder for a December shooting which left a Bloomington man dead in Champaign. Jamal A. Carter, 27, was arrested when he was in the back seat of a vehicle stopped in Springfield on Thursday. Officers conducted a search of the vehicle and found two 9mm pistols in the back seat, said Assistant State Attorney Tobias Ortega, one of which Carter would later admit to owning. On December 29th, Carter had spoken to police about a December 10th, 2024 shooting that took the life of Alvin J. Parker, 42, of Bloomington, inside a residence on Dobbins Drive in Champaign. Mr. Parker was found to have been shot twice in the head, twice in the back, and once in the left shoulder and left upper arm. Officers found multiple 9mm bullet casings in the residence. Carter told the police he had been at the house earlier that day, but left to go to work in Bloomington before the shooting occurred, and only later that day something serious had happened, Ortega said. Carter said he wasn't aware Mr. Parker had been shot and killed at his uncle's house until police told him. Witnesses placed Carter at the shooting scene directly after the shooting. Police also spoke to Carter's employer in Bloomington and learned that he was not at work on December 10th. The employer also said Carter had been given a 30-day leave for the death of a family member. Carter told police at multiple points throughout interviews that he was not present and unaware of the shooting, but did eventually admit to shooting Mr. Parker after a verbal altercation, Ortega said. Carter has been charged with two counts of first-degree murder and one count of felon possession of a firearm. If he is convicted, he would face a sentence of 45 to 85 years in prison for each count of murder. A hearing on whether Carter will be detained until trial was delayed today, but Champaign County Judge Brett Olmstead ordered he be detained at least until the hearing. The next article is Plan for Fernie's, Parcadia Moving Forward. Permit for drive-thru at proposed Dutch Bros coffee shop also approved. Urbana. Two new businesses and one expansion are on their way to becoming a reality. Urbana City Council voted February 24th to approve incentive agreements for Fernie's High Horse, a new entertainment and restaurant space at 118 and 120 South Race Street in Parcadia, CU Adventures in Time and Space's Fantasy Mini Golf Bar expansion. The council also approved a special use permit for a drive-thru at a proposed Dutch Bros coffee location at 809 West Green Street. This may be a historic moment. At this point, we have seven new or expanded businesses in the city of Urbana and several more in the pipeline in the last 2 months, said Mayor Diane Marlin. So thank you for your support of these. Other recent or pending developments include H Mart, Elm City Coffee, Good Judy's, Hotel Royer, the reopening of Black Dog Urbana, and the Yard on Broadway, Marlin said. The latter is a new multi-restaurant space. Per the approved agreement, Race Street Ventures, LLC, the developer of Fernie's High Horse, will receive up to $258,000 in tax increment funds, contingent on meeting certain performance goals. In a proposal dated July 1, 2024, the LLC estimated the business could open in fall 2025. Fernie's will feature an overall capacity of 250 divided into a live performance space, which can be reconfigured as a single-screen cinema with seating for up to 100 patrons, a coffee house, cafe, a full-service bar, and a patio complete with stationary food trailer and a space for additional food trucks, wrote City Administrator Carol Mitten in a report to the council. The second floor of the property will feature 4 two-bedroom apartments, including one to serve as a green room for performers. As for Parcadia, CU Adventures in Time and Space, co-owner Ann Lucan has described the project as a 16,000-square-foot, immersive, fantasy-themed mini-golf bar with two mini golf courses, private rooms for special events, and a medieval-inspired tavern straight out of Dungeons & Dragons. Under the agreement, the city will provide up to $210,000 in tax increment funds to MCDJ LLC, which owns the subject property at 302 North Broadway Avenue. And leases space to CU Adventures in Time and Space, Mitten said. The planned expansion will take place in an adjacent vacant space. As with Fernie's High Horse, the total amount of incentives the project receives will be contingent on a certain performance-based requirements. Finally, the Dutch Bros coffee shop on the edge of campus will offer walk-up and drive-through service, according to Urbana Principal City Planner Kevin Garcia. According to the company's LinkedIn profile, the chain has over 900 locations across 18 states. The planned commission previously recommended that council deny the developer's request for a special use permit, citing concerns about potential traffic issues, both within the site and along Green Street, as vehicles entered and exited. City Council, however, stated in their resolution of approval that the site plan has been intentionally designed to prevent traffic mishaps. The permit includes a number of conditions for applicant Rockford Structures, including, in addition by council, the developer must work with city planning and engineering to implement measures at the driveway that are designed to prioritize the safety of pedestrians and bicyclists. Furthermore, the development must include outdoor seating areas and restroom access for customers. The next article is woman suspected in possibly burglary of multiple vehicles. Champaign. Champaign County Crime Stoppers is asking for the public's help identifying a suspect in a possible burglary of multiple vehicles. At 3:49 p.m. on February 11th, a woman entered several parked vehicles on the 400 block of East Johnson Street. Police learned that items in one vehicle were moved around and the glove box was opened, but it is still unknown if anything was stolen from any of the vehicles. The suspect was captured on video and described as wearing a teal jacket with the hood up, blue jeans, and white tan shoes, carrying a green bag. If you have any information regarding this or any crime in Champaign County, please contact Crime Stoppers at 217-373-TIPS or visit 373tips.com. Tipsters are always 100% anonymous when contacting Crime Stoppers and receive a code number to check on rewards. All tips submitted to Crime Stoppers are electronically stripped of any personally identifying information and processed by a third-party answering service. Crime Stoppers will pay cash rewards of $5,000 for tips that lead to an arrest in any Champaign County homicide, $2,500 for tips leading to an arrest in any felony involving a gun in Champaign County, and up to $1,000 for tips leading to arrests in other crimes. Our next article is Crews Battle Wildfires in North and South Carolina by the Associated Press. Crews battled wildfires in North and South Carolina on Sunday amid dry conditions and gusty winds, and evacuations were ordered in some areas. The National Weather Service warned of increased fire danger in the region due to a combination of critically dry fuels and very low relative humidity. In South Carolina, Governor Henry McMaster declared a state of emergency on Sunday to support the wildfire response effort, and a state burning ban remained in effect. Crews worked to contain a fire in the Carolina Forest area west of the coastal resort of Myrtle Beach, where residents were ordered to evacuate several neighborhoods, according to Horry County Fire Rescue. The South Carolina Forestry Commission estimated Sunday afternoon that the blaze was burning about 1.9 square miles with 0% containment. No structures had succumbed to the blaze, and no injuries had been reported as of Sunday morning, officials said. The 410 personnel involved in the effort were expected to remain until the fire was contained, county fire officials said. Evacuations were expected to remain in place Sunday and officials warned residents in the Carolina Forest area to be prepared with go bags and emergency plans if more evacuations were called in their neighborhoods. In North Carolina, the U.S. Forest Service said fire crews were working to contain multiple wildfires burning on more than 400 acres in four forests across the state on Sunday. The largest, about 300 acres, was Uwari National Forest, about 50 miles east of Charlotte. The small southwestern town of Tryon in Polk County, North Carolina, urged some residents to evacuate Saturday as a fire spread rapidly there. On Sunday, officials said those evacuations remained in effect. That fire was burning about 400 acres on Sunday afternoon, with 0% containment, according to the Polk County Emergency Management/Fire Marshal's office. The North Carolina's Forest Service was conducting water drops and backburning operations on the ground, and area residents should expect a lot of smoke during those operations, officials said. Officials have not said what caused the fires. We will take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette from March 3rd, 2025. Please stay tuned.